Thanks, Jane. Let me pray for us as we come to God's word. This Easter day, may your words be life to us, we pray. Strengthen us in our faith, bring us to faith, and we ask it for your name's sake. Amen. There are times in people's lives, most people's lives, when something happens and they realize that they've done something so awful that they wish they could take it back, but they can't. They wish they could undo what they've just done, but they can't. And there's that horrible sinking feeling of everything having changed forever. In a very small way, something awful happened to me 2 years ago. I was canoeing, and I got my little bag with my camera in it and put it on the edge. And then I got out of the canoe, and then I lifted the canoe up, and as I turned the canoe, it tipped the bag with my beautiful camera in into the can. And it was like it was in slow motion. And I saw it just fall and splash and sink. And there was nothing I could do about it. I jumped in, and I scrabbled around on the bottom, and I got it out again. It was dead. My camera was dead. Now that's a tiny thing. This is probably a legend, but it's a great story, tragic, about Gellert the dog. I think it'll help us to feel the shock of being cut to the heart that the disciples and many who were listening felt when Peter preached. It's the story of Prince Llewellyn and his faithful dog. The prince came back from hunting one day, and he couldn't find his infant child. He saw the marks of blood everywhere, and he thought his faithful dog, Gellert, had killed his child. And in grief, he grabbed his sword and plunged it into his beautiful dog, only to then hear a baby's cry from under the bed. And behind the bed was the wolf that his faithful dog had killed in protecting the child. And at that point, he couldn't go back. He was cut to the heart. He'd killed the beautiful animal who'd saved his child. In Acts 22, verse 37, when people heard what Peter said, they were cut to the heart. And they asked the disciples, "Brothers, what should we do?" What was it that gave them such an awful shock? Well, it was two things. Let me put this slide up for us. The first thing that they were cut to the heart about was that they came to understand that the man they'd killed, thinking was really bad, had actually been really, really good. When Jesus was arrested, they all asked him if he was God's promised king, and he said, "I am." Now, either he was telling the truth or he'd been telling a lie. And everybody believed he was telling a lie, a bad lie. It's bad to say something that you are when you're not. They thought he couldn't possibly be God's promised king because he was just a gentleman who wasn't a soldier-type person that they wanted. Instead of fighting for them against the Romans, he spent his time telling people they should love their enemies. And that there was nothing greater that someone could do than to lay down their life for their friends. Instead of being all religious and saying that keeping the rules was important, he kept forgiving people who broke the rules. He made the important religious people look silly, and they didn't like it. So the first thing that gave them an awful shock was realizing that the man that they had hated and killed, thinking he was really, really bad, was actually really, really good. In fact, he was the best man that the world has ever seen. Now, that's bad. You hate it when unfair things happen, don't you? No one likes to get the blame for something they've done, they haven't done. How would you like it if George smashed a window and then blamed it on you? "I've got a window. George, come and smash a window." Harder. Really hard. and then point at everybody else, blamed it on you. Okay, George, you can go and sit down. How would you like it if that happened? When the teachers came, he blamed it on you. And you said, no, no, I didn't. But the teachers believed George's lie and punished you instead. They made you do some detentions. And your mum and dad said that the school could have some of your pocket money to pay for the broken window. That would be really unfair, wouldn't it? We hate it when unfair things happen to us. But imagine after George, after a few weeks, was in assembly and somebody had taken a picture. In fact, it was a video clip, and they posted it on YouTube of him smashing the window, and they played it in assembly of him doing it. How would he feel then? Imagine it got shown to the whole school. And imagine it was a good film because it showed the window and the stone and the person who actually smashed the window, George. How would he feel now that he'd been shown to be a liar and that he was the one who'd done the bad thing and that you'd done nothing wrong? He would be cut to the heart, just like those people who killed Jesus were cut to the heart. There was proof that the one who'd been punished was innocent and the one who'd done the bad thing and got away with it was guilty. First thing that cut people to the heart was realizing that one they'd killed, thinking he was really bad, had actually been really good. But there was a second thing that cut them to the heart. This shocked them more than anything. When they were told that the one they had killed was alive again. He didn't stay dead. On the third day after he'd been buried and he was dead in a tomb, God raised him back to life. And he walked out of the tomb alive. And he was seen by the two Marys at the tomb, and then the disciples, and then Thomas, and then more than 500 people at once saw Jesus alive after he'd been killed. Hundreds of people saw him. Now that's not normal. Only one person who's been dead has ever risen to new life like that. And Jesus being alive was like the video being shown for George. It showed them that the people had been wrong and that Jesus had been right. Jesus' resurrection from the dead showed them that they were guilty and deserved to be punished, that they killed a man who was God, but that man had risen from the dead and now there was proof that the punishment he'd taken should fall on them. And it should, shouldn't it? George smashed the window. He should get punished. He should pay. We have been enemies of God for ages, and we should pay. What can we do? Is there anything that can be done to stop the punishment falling on us? That was the question the people asked in Acts chapter 2. And this was the answer Peter gave them. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Did you hear that? He said that there was a way they could be forgiven. Wouldn't it be amazing if George, when he was sat there in front of the whole school, watching the video of him smashing that window, knowing that he and everyone else knew he was guilty, could hear that he could be forgiven? Well, it's not a brilliant example, but try this. Imagine that the boy who'd been punished for breaking the window stood up and said, no, don't punish him. I forgive him for lying about me. I want him to not have to pay because I've already paid with my pocket money. And I've done detentions. And I want them to have been enough for George to be forgiven. Imagine if he said that to the teachers and to the rest of the school. It's okay, I don't want George to take the punishment he deserves because I've already taken it. What would people think? If you're like me, I bet you'd be thinking, that's not fair, he should be punished. George is the guilty one. And that boy should be paid back. But if you were Ben, what would you think? Well, you'd feel really bad, wouldn't you? You'd hate that you'd been found out. You'd hate to have to admit that you'd done the damage. You'd probably hate it that the other boy was being so kind and nice to you when you'd been horrible and lied about him. Well, what will happen? Well, two things could happen. Only two. George could refuse and say no. He could refuse to accept the free gift he'd been given, and he could live the rest of his life feeling guilty and sometimes and angry at others and ashamed. That's what he could do. He could say, no thanks, I don't want it. Or he could accept the other boy's gift. He could turn to him and apologize for what he'd done. He could admit that he'd done it and that what he'd done was wrong and that he deserved to be punished. And he could say, thank you for forgiving me. And he'd probably be good friends with that boy forever. Now, it's a bit like that with the resurrection. We've all got a choice to make when we understand what Easter is about. We could say no, and there'll be people here who've been saying no for years, refusing to accept that Jesus has died in your place, taken the punishment you deserve, and is offering you free forgiveness. We could say no and could carry on denying it and being angry sometimes and ashamed at other times. Now, that's a horrible way to live. It's not the way God wants us to live. But he will let us if we choose to live like that. But on the last day, the punishment will fall. Or we could turn to Jesus, turning away from what we've done wrong, saying sorry, and being amazed at how kind he has been to us. We could thank him and accept his gift of forgiveness. And of course, we'll be different people after we've done that, won't we? We'll always think about what Jesus has saved us from. And when we're tempted to do bad things and pray, we'd pray for his help. That we would turn away from that bad thing and choose to do the right thing. And even if we do end up doing bad things, and we will, we could still turn back to Jesus and ask him, when you died on the cross for me, was it enough to pay for that bad thing I've just done? And what he'd say to you is, yes, of course it was. Now go and enjoy a forgiven life. I've paid it for you. Now, which of those two ways do you want to live? Refusing Jesus' love for you and saying no, or accepting that he rose from the dead and offers you free forgiveness and saying yes, yes please? Well, on the day Peter told people about Jesus, that day in Jerusalem, guess what happened? 3,000 people in one go trusted in Jesus. That's verse 41. They were forgiven their sin, and they began a new life as Christians. Now, to everybody who's done that already, trusted in Jesus, been forgiven their sin, Easter is the best day in the year to remember it. Go back to the first time you were amazed at how kind Jesus had been to you, you who've done nothing to deserve it, and turn again and thank him. But if you've not done that yet, Easter Day 2016 would be a great day to turn to him for the first time, say sorry for your sin, and accept his forgiveness. Why not today admit that you deserve to be punished, you have sinned, and then believe Jesus died in your place, taking your punishment, and rose again to prove it had worked, and then commit to living with him as your Lord. I've got a little booklet called The Real Easter, which I'd like to give to anybody who wants to come and read how to do that. Jesus is risen. God has made this Jesus, whom we crucified, both Lord and Christ. So repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Now that is the best news in the world. Let me pray for us. Help us, Heavenly Father, to rejoice this Easter that our sins have been forgiven, that with Jesus' resurrection, he has made it possible for us to live new lives, hopeful, confident, and expectant of heaven. Thrill us with your resurrection and encourage us to live each day to your praise and glory. And for those who are on the brink, please bring them to the point of being cut to the heart that they might trust in you. And we ask it for Jesus' name's sake. Amen.